And then we will call this Thursday, July 23rd, 2015, meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Will Mrs. Baer please call the roll?
Chairman Nellie?
Here.
Mayor Yule? Chair Hines? Chairman York?
Here.
Chairman Bulova?
Here.
Mayor Parrish? Mayor Silverthorne? Councilmember Rochelle?
Here.
Councilmember Snyder?
Here.
Senator Evan?
Here.
Delegate Rust?
Here.
Delegate Minshew?
Here.
Ms. Bushu?
Here.
Mr. Garzinski?
Here.
Mayor Frazier? Ms. Cuervo?
Here.
Ms. Mitchell?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have four.
Thank you, Mrs. Baer. We have the consent agenda. We have 9 items. Oh, I'm sorry, back up, sorry. I'm sorry, correct. First, we have the minutes of the June 25th meeting. Those were sent out in advance.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Move for approval of Mr. York, second, and Mrs. Bulova. Any comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Is it aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? And does anyone need to record this as abstention? Abstention from Mr. Evan, Mr. Garzinski, and Mr. Snyder.
Also here, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Minshew.
Excellent.
Thank you. Now we have 9 consent agenda items. I think these are all project agreements. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Anything you need to add to these, Ms. Beck?
No. No, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion made by Mr. York, seconded by Mr. Snyder. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. We're flopping along here. Action items, we have, first item is an additional project agreement from Fairfax County. Ms. Backman, do you have information you got on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the reason why this one is not on the consent agenda, that it's an adjustment from the number of buses that were approved as part of the 2-year program. We wanted to make that adjustment to match the funding request. And so, because it is an adjustment from what was approved, we can, I think 16 buses was approved, but looking at the total cost, you can only buy 12 buses for the funding amount.
But that's kosher. It's the dollar amount that
yes.
we're approving.
Yes, the dollar amount was approved. We're just making
We approved the CIP. We're approving a dollar amount for a
yes.
project.
Yes.
This, is where, this is where we approve the implementation of that dollar
yes.
amount. Okay. Any questions on this?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I am happy to move approval of this item.
Motion made by Mrs. Bulova, seconded by Mr. York. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Ms. Backman, the transaction update.
Mr. Chairman, I will ask Mr. Longy and Mr. Jasper to come forward. As you all know, this will be the first update of the authority's long-range transportation plan since the implementation of HB 2313, the long-awaited update. At your December meeting, you did authorize me to advance with the update, so I will turn it over to Mr. Jasper.
Mr. Chairman, members of the authority, good evening. Exciting time for us. As you're aware, the MJ staff has been working with a subcommittee on the update for transaction. The authority approved the scope of work for the update at its meeting in April, and we've been through the process of reviewing the responses. We have 4 responsive proposals. From the subcommittee, we established a selection panel as a subset of that subcommittee, which represented all the counties, the City of Alexandria, BRE, PRTC, and MBTA. The selection panel reviewed all of the proposals, shortlisted couple of firms, interviewed those firms, negotiated with those firms, and then unanimously selected the firm of AECOM to recommend to the authority to undertake the transaction update. I really want to stress that this whole process was very collaborative in nature. I want to express my appreciation for the efforts of the staff of your jurisdictions in supporting this effort, and so it was both collaborative and ultimately unanimous.
Any questions for staff on this?
Mr. Chairman, I want to just ask if we could, assuming the item does get approved, that we actually amend the staff report so that it actually shows what the contract, agreed contract amount is. I think it's good for transparency for folks who may be watching us on the web and what have you, that they know what it is. So, and if you would like, I'll go ahead and suggest we approve the board to the contract of update the transaction 2040 long range transportation plan to ACOM Technical Services Inc. and authorize the executive director to sign the agreement on behalf of the MBTA in a form approved by legal counsel.
And happy to second that motion.
The motion is made by Mr. York and seconded by Mrs. Bulova. And to be clear, the motion includes, the minutes should include explicit reference to the amount of the contract. Fantastic. Any discussion on this?
What is the explicit amount of the contract?
That's a great question. It was sent out.
If I may, Chairman Noe, the budget amount is $2.5 million. After negotiations, the contract amount is $2,135,473, which leaves approximately a 17% contingency.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Next item, wow, this is sort of like that. The appointment of members to the Bylaws Committee. A few months ago, I appointed Board Member Hines as the chairman of the Bylaws Committee with no other members. Mrs. Hines, we've got to set the stage for some things. Tonight, we're going to be appointing, does this require a motion? Okay.
No.
I make this point. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I am appointing Delegate Minshew, Mayor Yule, and Mayor Silverthorne as additional members of that committee. And I believe they have all agreed to serve in that capacity.
They have.
And so, Mr. Minshew, you can go a rough shot over the group because the others aren't here tonight.
Same name, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay, so I'll make those appointments. And they'll be coming back to us in this back meeting, you think, in late fall?
Yes.
And then the next action item is this comes out of a report from the Personnel Committee, which ended up not meeting this evening, and both the chair and vice chair of that committee were not able to attend. So we're going to defer that and just put that on the agenda for next month. We'll take that up and we'll find a way to meet sometime between now and then. Back then, any of these discussion items need a report?
Yes, sir. On the revenues, nothing to add to the staff report details other than say we will end the year very positive.
Okay. Ms. Backman, do you have anything else for us?
I do. As part of my executive director's report, I did want to bring to the members' attention a few items. Number one, we all know about the I-66 project. The secretary was here at your last meeting, and the state is requesting that the authority submit I-66 outside the Beltway as part of the HB2 process. I'm not asking for any action this evening, but I will present it to the I-66 outside the Beltway committee, and then at the September meeting, would appreciate direction from the authority regarding the authority's willingness to submit this project for HB2. That is the first thing I wanted to note. According to the HB2 schedule, projects are due by September 30th. The call for projects open, I believe, is August 1st, and projects are due by September 30th. So I did want to make the authority aware of that. And as I stated, we will have this as an item at the I-66 committee meeting scheduled for Wednesday, August 5th at 10:30 a.m. Also, and before I go on, were there any questions about that?
Yes, so September, you said the projects were due on which date?
Projects are to be submitted for HB2 by September the 30th.
And those are submitted by the jurisdictions?
They are submitted by the jurisdictions or transit agencies, yes.
And are the jurisdictions limited, or can they submit as many as they want, and then we evaluate which ones get rated?
Well, the state is undergoing the HB2 process, so there is another component to this. Regarding the corridor, the statewide significance, and this is another thing we will bring forward to the authority. The HB2 guidelines require that projects that are on the, if the localities or transit agencies have projects that are a part of the corridors of statewide significance, that they receive a resolution of support from the relevant entity. In our case, the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, this body is the relevant entity. For transit agencies, if projects are in a part of the regional networks, they also need a resolution of support from the authority. Now, what we've been told by VDOT staff is that although the project submission deadline is September 30th, the deadline for resolutions is actually December the 1st. So my staff, we're working on some resolution or two to vet through the JAC and so forth to bring to the authority for approval regarding submission of these projects.
Can the authority submit projects and we as a group,
yes,
we can submit them correctly?
Yes.
Without necessarily, we have to check, we have to sign off on anything submitted by a locality.
Or
but we can also submit something that even if the locality didn't submit.
Yes, that is correct. And as I stated, the state would like the authority to submit the I-66 outside the Beltway project.
One more question. So those projects that are being submitted by September 30th, are to go in our plan for how many years?
Well, this is for the state's evaluation for HB2. They're seek to be vetted as part of their 6-year program.
Okay.
Yes, one of the things we've discussed with staff is that MBTA endorsement of a particular project via resolution does not necessarily mandate that the authority is going to fund said project with the 2313 revenues. Of course, we have a defined process on how our projects will be evaluated.
Thank you.
Ms. Rachel. After the submission deadline, what then is the timetable after that? Is there a timetable?
There is a timetable. I believe that the state, of course, and this is working backward, that the 6-year program is scheduled to be adopted in June of next year. I know right now there's a training session that's underway regarding localities and agencies who want to submit for HB2 because the project submittal process is an online process. But I'll defer to Ms. Mitchell if she'd like to add anything.
No, we were just confirming, I guess, that whether or not you would also need the jurisdictions to have some sort of concurrence or some sort of action, so Prince William and Fairfax to have some sort of action that also endorses your application.
For the authority's application?
Yeah, that's what we were just conferring about. So, well, I don't think it may not be required, it may not,
certainly strength at the bare minimum strengthens the argument if the jurisdiction's on the, we're not an MPO, but we're, for the purpose of this discussion, we're an MPO.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I would add a discussion at the CTB when this was transpiring is that although we certainly welcome applications from individual jurisdictions, we were looking to the MPOs / NVTAs of the world or Hampton Roads to submit projects. I mean, it would make it simpler if it were done that way and had more of the endorsement of the MPO as opposed to, are we going to get two? I don't know how many we're going to get. Are we going to get 200 or are we going to get 50?
I think we need 200.
And there's still a limited, there's still a very limited amount of money, yeah, especially according to 1887 and now that's being broken down, so.
Well, I think one of the questions that the submission date is September 30th. Again, if the jurisdiction submits it, we, the authority, have to endorse that. We're not endorsing the project, we're endorsing the submission of the project.
The submission of the project.
When does that happen? Do we have to do that by September 30th?
No, what we're being told is the deadline for receipt of the resolutions is December the 1st.
Okay, so this is something we can take up in October or November.
That is correct.
As
and then thereafter, when is funding awarded?
Would be for the next 6-year plan, which would be adopted in June.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jurisdiction sends a project here for endorsement.
That is correct.
Are we under any obligation to endorse the project?
That is, the authority is not under any obligation. One thing that we've been discussing at the JAC is whether there should be two resolutions. I had a conversation with Chairman Noe. Should the authority endorse projects that you previously vetted that are in transaction, that are in the 2010 CLRP, that you've approved as a part of your CMAQ RSTP program, or how do you treat projects that have not undergone some sort of vetting process regarding the authority? So I think right now, and again, we're circulating this with staff, we're looking at should the authority have two resolutions, or should the authority only endorse projects that you previously vetted?
This is a staff question.
Mr. Chairman, Noel Dominguez, Fairfax County, just to clarify, the letter of support, the resolution of support, is only necessary for projects that are considered corridor or statewide significant projects, which is for long range. HB 1887 also have other programs that, or other projects that would qualify. Projects that are regional network projects do not need the localities do not need a letter of support. Transit agencies need a letter of support from a relevant entity, no matter what type they are. So localities can submit under the regional network or the urban development area or under safety, and those would not have to come to the authority. Just the corridor, the statewide significant projects would have to come.
It seems to me, therefore, I think Mr. Russ's question, doesn't sound like we are obligated to, if a jurisdiction requests something that does require our consent, we are not obligated to grant that consent. Now, whether we would withhold it or not is a separate question. But I don't think, it doesn't sound like we are. But it seems to me that whatever the process ends up looking like, and I don't think it matters much as long as it's transparent, I think what we need to see is basically three categories. What we really need to see is those that are in transaction and been through some sort of vetting process, and I'll, maybe somebody can disagree with this. A second category are ones that are probably more subjective on our part insofar as that we haven't vetted them, but we may not necessarily have any objection to them being considered. And I would like to see what are those projects requested from the region that do not require our approval, but just so that we have context on what they are. Because that information is relevant in terms of looking at transaction, the next transaction update. If we've got jurisdictions asking for six-year plan funding, we want to know, it seems to me we want to know what those are as we develop our own long-range plan.
And Mr. Chairman, VDOT is telling me that if a project is on a corridor or statewide significant, then that project does not receive support from a resolution of support from the authority, then the state will not evaluate the project.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, following this meeting, I would ask that staff prepare a document that sets forth sort of the conclusions after vetting with our council of councils to make sure that we're entirely in sync, so we have a common play sheet to work from, if you will.
I'd ask that it be a diagram as well as words. Both are good, but this is the layers here are actually pretty significant, and the points of intersection are multiple.
Yep.
And what the CTB is looking for by having our involvement may be entirely different than what we need. And I just think the first time out on all this stuff, I think it's better to draw pictures and figure out if we're really able to satisfy everybody, each different agency's needs in the way that we've laid out. If those really do meet what everybody's looking for, if there should be joints, I just feels like there's a lot of sign-offs that may or may not matter, but certainly could run us around the gerbil wheel.
This is ultimately what I'm about to say will be decided by the General Assembly, but I wonder, MBTA, not tonight, but ought to ask staff and VDOT to take a look at our process. And you've heard me say this before, of doing a 599 and then turning right around and doing an HB2. And we're VDOT and us and the taxpayers are spending a lot of money doing 599. And I'm wondering if we should, NBTA, which affects us, should take some position of putting those two together and make a recommendation to the General Assembly.
Just
put that out for thought.
To that point, Ms. Backman, do you want to talk about what we talked about at the JAC? Give an introduction to the topic we talked about at the JAC, or not the JAC?
The PIWG. Yeah,
PIWG meeting.
A few.
Not everyone, those of us who are at PIWG are going, yeah, we talked about that.
Making transportation so complicated. I mean, this is just nuts. No one understands it. We're confusing the public, we're confusing ourselves. This is just nuts. So I agree that there's a way we can streamline and simplify the way projects are evaluated, so that we're not putting things through separate policies and whatnot.
And Mary will do the Arlington caveat, so long as it's fair to non-roads, right? So long as it's fair across modes, then this works. If it's not, because we think HB2 probably doesn't have as much sensitivity in it as 599 does.
So at the last PIWG meeting, there was discussion of using the two performance measures that the CTB approved as part of the congestion reduction element for HB2, using those two measures for the authority's HB 599 congestion reduction. The two measures are, I believe, person throughput and person hours of delay. And so we could use that, but still use the Transim's model in which we use for HB5 or the state VDOT use for HB599 analysis in the attempt to better streamline the process. After a lengthy discussion at the project implementation working group, I think we left the meeting stating that we would come back with some test runs, if you will, on running projects through, we already have analysis of the some projects through the 599 that's adopted as part of the two-year program, but running some of the projects under these two performance measures using the Transims process, both highway and transit projects, so that the group could get an idea of what would happen to how the projects will fare.
Just for your sake, Mr. Russ, is that part of the conversation stemmed around the notion that the HB 599 is a process to measure congestion relief. We feed that data into a larger algorithm that helps us make decisions for project selection. What percentage each category takes on is different, and there are many measurements that we are required to consider that the HB2 process doesn't pick up on. But one thing we have in common is HB2 has a congestion relief measurement and we have a congestion relief measurement. And there's two major differences, one of which is HB2 uses only vehicle throughput and person, or vehicle hours of delay and person hours of delay. Whereas we use seven different measurements. It stands to reason that it would be simpler and easier to understand if we went down to simply those two measurements. We don't know what the impact of that is, but how would it change things? But it's worthy of consideration. But the other catch is the metric that VDOT is going, or that the VDOT is going to use for the HB2 congestion relief is a less robust analytical tool than the tool we've used in 599. And so then that opens up the question of, if we the authority go down to those two measurements, but keep the same very robust metric tool, are we still stuck in a situation where we're really not comparing apples to apples when we compare the two processes? Or alternatively, if we give up the robustness of our process, are we losing some valuable data that would help be, would be expected of us?
And to add, Chairman Noy, we want to make sure that we're meeting the intent of the letter of the law regarding HB 599, because that is the law, and of course, we're coupled with your long-range transportation plan that we utilize to fund the projects under HB 2313. So for the September 16th PIWG meeting, we will have that information, the test run, if you will. As you know, VDOT and DRPT is already undergoing a test analysis of the transit projects as part of the HB 599 process as it exists today, because we stated that we would get that feedback and that analysis prior to issuing the call for project for the FY17 program.
Anything else?
One more thing, if I could. The V-Trans, multimodal transportation plan, the Office of Intermodal Planning and Investment is seeking comments from local officials, agency, and staff regarding the draft 2025 needs assessment for the V-Trans multimodal transportation plan. And V-Trans really does feed into the HB2 process because it's more of the planning side, if you will. They have scheduled a stakeholder meeting and work session followed by a public open house. The date is July the 29th. The work session is from 1 to 4 p.m. and the public open house is from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's on July 29th over at DDOT. That's all I have to say.
Any members have any other questions? This is a record-setting meeting. At least post-funding. I mean, back in like, 5-6 years ago, meetings were just short of time. I'll let Ms. Hines make the motion to adjourn. Since you have some other. Thank you, Mrs. Bulba. So the short version is this. Some of you heard this story, and I'll try to tell the short version. On Monday, my wife and I. My arm is basically fine. My shoulder hurts. My shoulder hurts, and I bruised all these ribs, and I may have torn a ligament in my arm, but I hope not. That's the part that really hurts most of the time. On Monday, my wife and I were hiking in Shenandoah National Park, and the first 4.5 miles of the 6.5 mile hike, we're pretty robust hikers. My wife was a little nervous because she kept hearing about the possibility of seeing a bear, which we've been told by park rangers consists of these bears, they're like big dogs. Think of them as stray dogs. They could be dangerous, but just shoo them off, scare them away, and they'll leave you alone, which is actually kind of true based on the second bear that we saw. We know people that hike there several times a year and have never seen a live bear in the park. The second bear we saw was gigantic and had two baby cubs with her, and would have been actually a really interesting sort of photographic moment for us had it not been for the first bear, which we discovered as my wife, I kind of let her stay 3 steps ahead of me because she says I walk too fast. So I just follow her as we walk up the trail. And she came around a blind corner and was met at a distance less than from myself to Mr. Rust, maybe 6 feet away, face to face with a mother black bear and her cubs. And she screamed. And there's some debate within our marriage as to whether or not she pushed me. And to be fair, it is she who contends that she pushed me. She thinks she pushed me. I don't remember that. And I ended up in trying to, and you're supposed to, the rule is, there's actually, there's two rules, but I think there's three. First rule is, if the bear is brown, just fall down. If the bear is black, take a step back. That's great advice when the bear's 100 feet away. When the bear is literally in your face, there's nothing in your brain that tells you, gently take a step back, wave your arms, and scream at the bear and say, go away, bear! And so I fell and bruised all my ribs, and then at that point I looked up, and the bear was actually moving toward me. I was waiting, the screaming was no longer about scaring it away. And I got up and started running to where my wife was. Because once she got far, she allows me to tell us about the story. She only ran away maybe 70 feet. She didn't really run that far. And she admits, not conscientiously.
But you were closer to the bear than she was.
Once she realized I was on the ground, she was safe. So she stopped. And then running away the second time, I fell again and may have torn a ligament in my arm. Nothing's broken. And then we had to cancel our vacation because the next morning I literally couldn't move the arm, so we had to come home.
My
wife never saw the bear a second time, so she must have kind of between the first and second fall must have taken off during that point in time. And it was a little weird though because we then were able to watch her kind of go up the top of this hill, and we had to continue around the corner. So she had the upper ground the entire time and was watching us. I mean, she sort of as we continued along, we weren't really getting further away from her for quite some time, and then. Like I said, when we were maybe 2/10 of a mile back to the campsite, at that point, I didn't care about my arm at all. Only thing I wanted was just to get her back to our car, just so my wife could just know we're sort of home base and everything's going to be fine. And like I said, less than 2/10 of a mile from our campground, at some distance, is the Well, it's only the second, well, I guess if you count the babies, it's the fourth, fifth, and sixth. But it's only the second adult bear I've ever seen in the wild, an hour apart. But this second bear was monstrous.
It's bigger now than it was.
Oh, yeah. I've always been told if the bear is brown, lay it on the ground. If the bear is black, take two steps back. And then someone told me, for those who do polar expeditions, if the bear is white, you'll complete his appetite. Polar bears will just eat you. So I'm fine, but I now have a fantastic story to tell you. Today I reminded her, my wife.
She'd take a picture.
That was the funny thing. Once the bear took off, I was like, well, get the camera out now. She's like, no, no, get the hell out of here. I'm like, you're killing me. I want to get a GoPro now, so that if it ever happens again, I have it's a YouTube moment. So and this thing is actually more annoying than the pain. I just wear it to play with my doctors.
Wow. But it's worth it.
Yeah. I just wanted to alert the group that at the CTB meeting in July, Nick Donahue, the deputy secretary, made a presentation on origins and destinations of river crossings from the 301 bridge all the way to the Legion Bridge. And the study pointed out that the Legion Bridge is going to have a capacity issue in the fairly short term. And there's going to be a resolution brought forth to try to enter into a dialogue between the secretariats of Virginia and Maryland on expansion of the Legion Bridge, which would include the possibility of HOV hot lanes on the Maryland side. Now, as a part of that, there was also dialogue with the spurred by Mr. Dyke and myself primarily about the need correspondingly for dialogue on a western crossing, not specific site-wise, but somewhere between the Legion Bridge and Point of Rocks to connect the two hubs of the 270 corridor centered around Shady Grove and then Tyson's out to eventually Dulles, which is going to be the major employment area in our area. I don't know if NBTA wants to comment on that, but in September when we're in Bristol, that resolution will come up to spur Nick to do that, to enter that dialogue. And should it be not just for the Legion Bridge, but a Western Crossing as well? Jim Dyke and I would certainly feel more comfortable if we had NBTA saying, yeah, that should at least be talked about. And I know it's Scott and Sharon primarily.
And I support that. The bridge is over.
I just wanted to bring it up for information.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I just want to say I'm disappointed. I thought that this was going to involve a bear.
It's close to Point of Rocks, it probably will.
Tough guys. Actually, I think I'm going to bring the report up at our board meeting on the 28th. And I'm going to suggest that, you know, that we endorse the recommendation regarding improvements to the American Legion Bridge and also to the concept of hot lanes that could that could connect the I-270 right. corridor. So I'm not including another bridge crossing, and I understand that there was some question about what that would, I guess, cover, or what that, you know, what the that other bridge crossing might, I guess, resolve as far as travel patterns, because that appeared to be somewhat ambiguous. It was clear, absolutely clear, the American Legion Bridge, that needs to be dealt with.
Well, I guess it was part of the answer was the expansion of the bridge, if Maryland would expansion of the Beltway on their side of the river. Because expanding the bridge without doing something once you cross the rivers
has to happen. Right?
Yeah, I'm not going to do so much. But it was primarily that in correlation to that expansion, the population growth of Loudoun and Fairfax and Montgomery County, and then even going out to Frederick is such, when you look at the next, the 2040 and beyond, that connecting those two hubs, the 270 hub and our hub on Route 7, the Silver Line, would certainly help both jurisdictions, and also, to be parochial, would certainly help Dulles Airport, which could use a boost right now. So So that was what was behind the impetus to try to include that. And it's all trying to get Maryland to the table. And right now, Maryland's more worried about the purple line. And you know, that seems to be the governor's focus. And haven't been too enthusiastic about talking about bridge crossings.
Mr. Chairman, and so I would be glad to you know, to make a motion, if it is appropriate, that MBTA weigh in on the study, and in particular the American Legion Bridge recommendation. I'm not sure, you know, as far as what we, how we would weigh in on.
I think Madam Chairman, what we're really looking for, what Nick is looking for, is just an indication that we can't ask Maryland for a dialogue on bridge crossing if we're not agreeing to a dialogue on our side of the river. So that's really, and we're not being specific. We're not saying, hey, it's going to go at Fairfax County Parkway, it's going to go with 28. We're just talking about, can you start a dialogue?
If I may, Ms. Backner, I mean, there's, or someone on staff hears this. We have policy on this, but we have there are references to additional Western capacity in transaction in some form.
That is correct. Now, I believe the Potomac River crossing is in transaction. So we do have some sort of precedent, but I would ask that you let staff come back and tell you exactly what's in the long-range plan.
I obviously would support this. When is your meeting?
The meeting is in Bristol in the middle. It's the third Wednesday of September. And that's the problem. And unless we can get, we may be able to get the resolution postponed, but then it goes to the Governor's Transportation Conference, which is until the end of October. So it keeps going.
There's an easy way to do this. It's a meeting. Let's suggest this. Why don't we have staff draft a letter?
Yes.
Draft a letter. We'll circulate it to the membership. Have the letter be based on, you know, I don't want to create new policy on this, but I think, you know, we have policy guidance in transaction, and then based on what's in transaction, we can send a letter to the CTB saying, here's what we have done, here's our adopted policy.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Two things. Recall that when you pull a particular item out of the transaction 24, that was a highly balanced approach, with people agreeing or disagreeing on particular things, but we supported the entire thing. Right. So I think, I'm not disagreeing with your approach, but I'm a little bit concerned about pulling a particular item out when other things there haven't been pursued, number one. Number two, I would be interested if there's discussion of transit enhancements on the American Legion Bridge as well as anything else. Mm-hmm. I think that ought to
and
be
that's the idea
up.
Of the hot lanes.
The whole,
right.
Well, not just hot lanes.
Could include.
Yeah. Specific reference to transit enhancements
bus,
as part of the overall
HIV,
work.
Right.
Yeah.
I worry just a little as we're talking about outside the Beltway and inside the Beltway. And a river cross, you know, how does this all begin to roll up relative to long-term benefit? And that I'm just going to lay that one on the table and say, I think we have to be a little careful here not to end up with something that's very focused on the western side of our region and not necessarily kind of looking upon to the overall. I'm just saying, I think I'd like staff to at least, you know, give us a little way to think about that, too, mm-hmm. as we look at the things which seem to be somewhat near term, that are big.
Mr. Tim, let me just lastly say on the American Legion Bridge, I so strongly agree with our meeting to have a dialogue with Mayor London. I'll describe a forum that I hosted with Roger Berliner maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, to, you know, to look at transportation between our two counties. And we focused a lot on some of the things that Fairfax County did, and it was a lot in the western part of the county, to include hot lanes, the Silver Line expansion, et cetera, et cetera. But it became really clear that, you know, we were doing a whole lot that just stopped. Especially before people could get into Maryland, and especially at the American Legion Bridge. And it was really kind of an awkward discussion because it really shed light on the fact that we need to work together with Maryland, and they need to be a major player in trying to improve that corridor and try to hopefully extend transportation and the hot lanes so that they are really effective. And when I say hot lanes, I mean transit, because that's what we've been able to provide on the 495 hot lanes project. So just wanted to make that point.
Mr. Chairman, the concept of increasing capacity in both ways on the Allegiant Bridge has been needed for years. There's no real surprise there. The worry I would have is that if we were to endorse a capacity expansion on the Allegiant Bridge, that could give rise to some people saying, well, we've now checked the box. We have addressed and fixed the problem of cross-river capacity, when I think it's really something that's needed now. So I would hate to see any discussion or solution on capacity increasing, be it hot lines, non-hot lines, or the Allegiant Bridge, give rise to believe that we have solved the problem on a need for a bridge crossing between American Legion and Point Rocks.
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Garzinski may want to expound on this, but I think that the study demonstrated that another Point of Rocks or other river crossing would serve a different traveling public than people who are using the American Legion Bridge. So it's not as though you could check the box and say we fixed it, because there are other travel patterns that would be addressed by another river crossing. And I'm not quite sure exactly where that would be or what that would be, but nothing's going to happen unless we actually have that dialogue.
That's the bottom line, is that's what we're trying to get to. We're not putting the cart before the horse and talking about specifics, but just can we talk about where are the possibilities, what are the challenges, what are the benefits of another crossing that would be with a transit component? Certainly, I don't think anybody's against that. It's just that we thought this opportunity provided by the study of the origins and destinations would be the good point to say, okay, Maryland, let's talk about this, the big picture. Because we all know, those of us who lived here most of our lives, when you cross that bridge, even before we had hot lanes, you go to snail's pace until you pass at least the Mormon Temple. I mean, it's just been, they repave it all the time, but Maryland hasn't done a whole lot there.
Put something together for circulation. We have some time for circulating it, receive comments, send it back out if necessary. Comfortable with that.
Okay.
Anything else?
Just trying to ask, date-wise, should we be able to have the letter circulate and then take action on that letter prior to Mr. Kaczynski's Bristol deadline?
The practice on letters has been consensus compiled over email is sufficient. We don't need to get up and down vote if there's not explicit objection from members.
But we'll be meeting on the third Wednesday. That's the action meeting, which will have the resolution.
Are we definitely meeting in August?
There is no authority meeting in August.
We're
definitely not meeting in August.
So no finance meeting.
Good.
Not in August.
Okay.
So would you like a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn from Mrs. Hines. So is there a second?
Second.
Without objection, so we're adjourned. Thank you.